It's all yours.
Okay, our next presenter is Dan Neary.
Okay, good morning. We have a little bit of change of pace here. We're going to look at erosion in some high-altitude alphasols after a fire in Arizona. And what you're going to be seeing here is the results of a 1,000-year event. My name is Dan Neary. I'm a research soil scientist and team leader for the Southwest Watershed Science Team in Flagstaff, Arizona. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Karen Kessner, Peter Kessner, who worked for me, and Anna Uerberger for the Arizona Geological Survey. The scene of this event or whatever, or disaster, San Francisco Peaks north of Flagstaff, Arizona, the Coconino National Forest. This is a Pleistocene-aged stratovolcano that blew the top off about 200,000 years ago. Yeah, and adds to a lot of the scenery area of the area, attracts a lot of people. And the vegetation here ranges from ponderosa pine at this elevation you're seeing here all the way to subalpine tundra at the top. Schultz Fire occurred in 2010, and over about a 10-day period, it burned over 6,000 hectares, and most of it, a good deal of it, was in high severity. Actually, about 60% of this fire burned in the first day. Okay, the geomorphic setting for this, and then because of this, we hypothesized that we were going to see some big events here because of the setup. First of all, the whole east side of the peaks burned off completely. The second thing is that between the ridge tops and where this photo was taken, there's about a 1,000-meter drop. So we have very steep terrain. So given some rain, something was going to happen. And the other part was a lot of this higher terrain had high severity fire, so this created a lot of water repellency, and so the propensity for runoff to occur was really high, and the risk was high. We informed county emergency management officials that things were going to happen, and the county proceeded to try to do what it could to try to prevent some of the flooding effects afterwards. The soils on the Schultz Fire, three categories. The ponderosa pine that burned at the lower elevations were mainly Moloch, Utroboralfs. The mixed conifers, where the focus of this paper is on, were Utroboralfs. And these soils, most of them are fairly stony. And then there were some parts up in the spruce fir at the very top of the mountain that were Andic cryoborals, but that was a small component of it. Just a shot here, you can see the stony nature of the of these soils, and the erosion event took much of what is, you can see here, is an A horizon, and in many cases a good deal of the B horizon. Just a shot. This is post fire, and we use a frame of reference, a waterline road here, which carries a pipeline. It supplies about 20% of Flagstaff's water supply. But thing to notice here, and this is one of the very typical drainage swales, and you see it's a very rounded contour. There's no well-defined channels. And there are about 29 of these crossing this road. The other thing to notice is that these side slopes in here, none of them are really rilled or gully. There's a little bit of dry gravel had occurred along this, but just sort of keep this as a picture in your mind of what looked after the fire. But before anything happened, and typically in Arizona, we get fires in June, and you get a monsoon comes in early July, and some of these storms can be pretty potent. And this happened to be what created part of a perfect storm here, was that we had the fourth wettest monsoon in history moved into the area. And of course, this is a shot of that same road. But you can see the deposition of material on the road because of the flat surfaces here. Just gives you a beginning to get an idea of the extent to which erosion occurred. What happens after these big fires? Some of the hydrologic effects, you get infiltration can drop off substantially. Peak flows, we've measured peak flows increases of 5 to 2,000 times previously measured. It's almost hard to comprehend that sort of increase. Soil water repellency occurs. Time of concentration, this is the time between the rainfall start and the showing up of runoff or flood flow afterwards. That tends to narrow very quickly. And then you get, where are we here? An increase in erosion. And it's been, the maximum I think was measured in Arizona was up around 300 megagrams per hectare. Okay, we had as part of this fire, a burned area emergency response team came in and they assessed this area. There were 11 watersheds that they assessed, and we'll be looking at some of those. Three of which had greater than 50% high severity fire. Two had greater than 70% high severity fire. They estimated some storm return periods, what could be expected based on this. Now, this was just an estimate based on models because there were no flow records for this area because much of this area had not had produced flow. But the thing to remember, if you just keep this in your mind, that 9.3 cubic meters per second peak flow, and we'll look at what happened. Okay, this is a shot of some of the one of the flood flows early on, and this is water coming off the mountain. And the thing to notice here, you see a hydraulic jump here from the water slamming into the tree. This is one indication of the velocity. The stuff which we do have in video is moving tremendously fast. The other thing is if you look at the side slopes here, you see water on the surface by the glistening here, but that's not really contributing much to this flow that you're seeing here. Most of this came from higher up in the watershed. So this is just blasting through this particular part of the landscape. Some of the flows that were measured, we used went back in and surveyed some of the peak flows using high water flow marks on 11 watersheds immediately after the first big storm. And this is the range in terms of cubic meters per second. And notice that 8.9 is pretty close to that 9.9 that the Bear team predicted as being the maximum peak flow. But what we actually measured in here is something like 10 times that. So you can see there's a much bigger response on this landscape than was originally predicted. What caused all this? The first biggest storm was July 20th, and there were some other storms like this one on August 16th that caused flood flows and erosion to go on. But the thing to note here is the peak intensity in 10 minutes was 24 millimeters. That's huge. That's an enormous amount of water because we've measured some substantial flood flows occurring with 8 millimeters. But this is 24 millimeters in just 10 minutes. And we believe, know that this is an underestimate. And one of the reasons for being an underestimate is these rain gauges are shown by these blue diamonds. They were located along this level. And at the time, we did not have any rain gauges higher up on the mountain. And what you've got here is this is the fire burn area. The red indicates high severity fire, and then you go down as you move towards green, it's a low severity fire. The black diamonds indicates where we measured debris flows. And I'll show you a picture of those, but that's an indication of how much water was moving and how powerful it was. And this watershed 7, we'll come back and look at some data from there. Anyway, this is a debris flow. It's mostly water, mostly rock. Water is just a lubricant. It's very much dependent on slope, and this one happened to stop where the slope dropped off. This is a flood flow, and these flood flows went all the way down off the mountain up here. This is going through an urban area, and when you look at this, it's black. I mean, the white is because of reflection off of the sky, but this flow is 40 to 50% solids. It's hyper concentrated, and it's carrying everything from silts to bowling balls. And this was transporting a lot of material. And the flood flow further went out quite a distance, several kilometers away, into some fairly flat areas. But by this time, the entire flow was just ash, silts, and clays. Okay, so what did it do up on top of the mountain? What was the erosion like? This is the waterline road again. They had a sort of a very well-known landmark, which is a tunnel that goes through a ridge. Remember, this road was constructed in 1909, something like that, for this waterline, which is embedded actually in the road. What happened after this first big storm on July 20th? That was what it looked like. So you had an infilling like this. And this road was very good at collecting sediment because it's pretty flat. Let's look at some roads and some rills and gullies. You can see here there's a picture of a side slope, and you see all these rills coming down the slope. That rock there is about 30 centimeters wide. So we figure every meter across the slope had 1 to 2 of these rills. And what this was doing was creating a hugely expanded hydrologic network for rapidly route water and soil material from the upper part of the mountain down below. There's just another shot of the same rock, and you can see all these developing. Those weren't there before the fire. This is all new. You can see another shot here is a gully developing, and the red arrows point to the root mat, which is exposed here, that was, anchors this whole slope system. And these rills then often produce the gullies. You can see here a gully developing here, and it's eating into the road surface right there. And they were expanding throughout the summer of 2010. Another just shot of a side slope of small gullies developing and the rill systems. And these things were running from the lower slopes all the way to the upper slopes. To give you a bigger picture, I'm going to back out further. And this is an aerial view. This is the waterline road. You see all that streaking in there? All that's rill and gully system. Wasn't there before. Some of the gullies are starting to get bigger, like this one and some other ones. Cover the entire slopes. Just another shot. You can see the waterline road, and you can see how it's accumulated sediment material. But all the streaking is just massive amount of rills and gullying. I've never seen anything like it. An update for what happened in 2011. We're just seeing continued expansion of the gully system. Here's one that was new that just formed in 2011. Here's another one that has been eating its way up from the bottom of the drainage and is about to take out the road. So the processes are still occurring, and they're likely to as long as you have exposed slopes like this and continued rainfall. Another way to get an idea of some of the erosion going on, we look at channel drainage scour. Originally, the channel was a contour like this. Remember, I showed this slide earlier. I said keep an idea of this form. That was what the original drainage looked like, and it's now scoured to bedrock. And here's a shot further higher up where you have your soil, your root mat, and this is scoured down to dayside bedrock. And in some places, the flows coming off of here are actually picking out pieces, cutting into this bedrock and chunking out big fresh pieces and moving it downslope. Here's another one. This incised, again, another one is sort of gradual swales incised. The original road level is right there. And this one's cut about 4 meters. In some cases, it's cut 5 meters. And there's our exposed water line right there. And this thing was cut in about 27 different places. Another, looking at a side slope, this is a drainage channel which has just scoured out, over-steepened. It's down to bedrock. There's all the side material is at risk of eroding into these channels. The white arrow shows rills, and then we've got the root mat being exposed that is a potential for further erosion. Drainage scour, the update, 2011, it's still going on. This is another area where the drainage channel is scoured out. There's our water line that was completely cut off, and there's a couple people there to give you an idea of the scale of all this. And then going back to our Watershed 7 here, we wanted to get a handle on how much material is coming out of here. Of course, there's massive events, impossible to measure. We're trying to do some things with a remote sensing to look at it. But Watershed 7 did a survey of the material in the channel system. And at the end of last year, there were 15,500 cubic meters of material just laying in the channel new. And that's about 95 megagrams per hectare of just what's in the channel. This is not counting what has been already flushed out or is being processed out. So to conclude this thing, we had wildfire. It was high severity, steep slopes. The fourth wettest monsoon in history created a perfect storm for massive erosion. And the major erosion in the upper occurred in the upper watersheds. The slopes are steep. It's 100%. And we had this extensive rill and gully network that expanded the hydrologic network in response to the upper watershed. And then we estimated erosion losses somewhere between 200 and 300 megagrams per hectare, which is huge. And this was the largest erosion event on this mountain in 1,000 years. We still have studies going on looking at these channel cross sections and rill and gully formation, or developing DEMs to analyze the erosion with remote sensing techniques. And that's the end of the story.